Vav Amud Aleph.
Okay.
Theme number one, is one line before the bat. Sorry.
Hashem watches over
six lines from the bottom. Rabbi Chama. At the end of the line, Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. Okay. Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina posed the contradiction. See, on the one hand it says, Shuvu Banim Shoivav. Come back, mischievous children. To make Korah Shoivim Imatim, which implies that the way Hashem views it is, mischievous children is not something terrible, it's something cute, right? Kids make trouble, it's not like they're. It's not like the parents might even laugh about it afterwards and tell the aunt about the cute thing that the kid did. So, and Hashem is encouraging them to do tshuva. It seems that like he relates to it as almost cute. Okay. But on the other hand, it says, "El tov yishuva yiseichem, I will remedy your waywardness." Which implies that no, this is not something that's just like a joke in the first place. It's a problem. You need to be healed. Afterwards, you're like a person who was sick and was healed, but it's like in the first place it was never a problem. Meaning, one part of this puzzle seems to imply your, well, waywardness, or your trouble. What's that? Oh, that's how they translate it? Oh, okay. Backsliding. So, does tshuva work such that once you do tshuva and you're reunited with Hashem, it's like in the first place there was never really anything wrong? Or is it like a person who is healed? It's a process. Right? There might still remain effects from the sickness. It's not like nothing problematic ever happened, right? So the Gemara says the fundamental distinction, which will come up a bit more in the Gemara also, it's like Kashi, it's not a contradiction. Kan me'ava, kan me'ira. It depends why a person did tshuva. If a person's tshuva was inspired by love, then, you'll see later, the Gemara spells it out even more. Not only is he forgiven, but actually, Hashem relates positively to the Averis in his past. That's a very surprising statement. We'll see it more later. More length. But Hashem actually relates positively to the Averis in his past. Not just that now you're forgiven. Retroactively, it was all good. Okay? Hamira. But if it's Mira, if it was from fear, fear can be in a few different ways. It can be self-inspired, it can be by seeing troubles by people around you. Whatever it is here, that's very great, but it's a bit different. That's already healing, right? You were sick, you were healed, there might still be certain ill effects. And there we say that it's more like a healing process. The Chidah notes, example that we said earlier, that tshuva might not really get you all the way. You might still need more things. You might still need suffering, chas v'shalom, tzaras, in order to achieve full atonement. That's what we're talking about when it's a healing process. So there might still be stages to the healing, but it's meira. But tshuva that's coming me'ava is something that has an immediate retroactive effect. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yehuda posed another contradiction, which is going to cause us to draw yet another distinction. See, on one hand it says, Shuvu banim shayvavim elpa mishuvayse. Now, he's viewing this pasuk as a whole. As we already showed, the two parts of this pasuk are alluding to those who do tshuva from love, and those who do tshuva from fear. right? But both of these are included in the pasuk, and in a general way, Hashem is addressing them all as children, right? There are the children who are just mischievous. There are the children who need to be healed, but it's all children, right? We'll see, but then there's another pasuk that implies a bit more of a distance. And what's that? Anochi ba'alti b'chem. I have imposed my mastery over you. Okay? V'lakachti eschem echad me'ir shnayim mishpachim. This is talking about the end of time. And Rachman of the Tzlan comes to be saved from this. There will be a lot of misfortune in the world. And Hashem says, I'm going to conduct a selection process. I'm going to pick one out of this town, two from that family. It's going to be a selection process. And I will impose my mastery on you. Now, the one in the town and the two in the family who are being chosen are obviously the ones who are making themselves worthy, right? Before are engaging in tshuva. But Hashem doesn't say, doesn't relate to his children. He relates to the man, I'm going to impose my mastery over you. I'm going to take you back as my servants. So, which is it? Does tshuva earn you the status of a son? Or the status of a servant who regained his grace? The Gemara says here also, well, not here also, a different implication. Loikash, it's not a contribution. Kame ava oimir. If you did tshuva, either from love or from fear, you're called a son. Even so, there are still differences, right? We said one is retroactively, everything's good. The other one is the healing process. But these are called sons. Okay. Akan al yidei yisur. But yet, a lesser level is when a person does tshuva as a result of being beaten into it by yisur, by troubles that come upon you, like sorrows. Now, this is important to note because on the one hand, we are giving this a lower level. But on the other hand, we are saying that this is called tshuva. This is something very important to note. It's like Rabbi Yehuda reiterates in all kinds of different contexts. And I think, right, a person comes self-inspired, right? He didn't wait until he's being pushed against the wall. Came because of love, or even because of fear, but not because Hashem was beating him up. He took the step forward. Hashem accepts it. But if Hashem is banging somebody over the head, and finally, you know, he submits himself and does tshuva, maybe he doesn't get credit for that. We say, no, that's also called tshuva. That's also called tshuva. And Hashem accepts it.
Because there are people who wouldn't even do tshuva then.
Oh, see, that's very important to note. We're talking about this here as always madrega, but actually it's a chashuva madrega. A person who is able to understand where the tzaras are coming from and to relate to them in the right way is talk on a high level. We'll say even more than that. It's not really like a servant, not a son. But what we're saying, relatively, in terms of the way Hashem relates to the different madrigas, a person who is just inspired by love of Hashem is one thing, right? And relative to that, the guy who just was forced into it by his tzaris, it's a quality of a servant versus a son. Actually, all of them are really have the quality of a son. It's just that we're comparing it relative. Okay. Now, right, we move on. Omar Rabbi Levi, Gedola Tshuva Shemagas Ad Kisei Akol. Look how great tshuva is. It gets a person, or I should put it differently. It reaches the Kisei Akol. It reaches the Kisei Akol. Meaning, Shemema, as it says in the Pasuk, Tshuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Return Yisrael, do Tshuva, to Hashem Elokecha. Meaning, Tshuva delivers you all the way to the doorstep of Hashem Elokecha. Puts you right there. This Gemara is once again bringing it out that Tshuva is not just about apologizing and getting back on track. But rather, tshuva is about achieving very, very great closeness. It brings a person, mamash to the kisei hakavod, brings a person to a very, very close place. And here I was just trying to find it in the Rambam. You probably noticed me turning the pages back and forth while I was not finding it here. But the Rambam is a beautiful description of, he says, how yesterday this person was an abomination. He was repulsed by Hashem. He was distant. He was disgusting. And today, Hashem considers him beloved, close, clung to him. Shame, I can't, not finding it now in the Rambam. But it would have been worth even seeing the Lashon inside. Okay. Now, here's something to understand. Tshuva is not a technicality that Hashem says, I've given you the chance to make amends. As we've already discussed, tshuva is almost an end in itself. Tshuva is almost an end in itself. And therefore, we're told by the Sefer, this is really the point the Gemara is making here. Tshuva magash and kisei hakavod. When a person wants to do tshuva, it's not just, okay, Hashem, you want to make amends, you're not going to do it again, fine. By taking that step toward tshuva, Hashem actually opens up to him, enables him to access the highest of worlds that get to the highest of places. It's described as the kisei hakavod. It's not just that Hashem says, okay, I'll let you get back on track. A person is accessing the purest and highest worlds that exist. Rav Shachaim goes on about this, showing in Kabbalistic terms quite exactly how a person goes cut straight up above all the different worlds, goes straight back to the original source. And it's even more than that. Alshik brings this out. Alshik says that when a person did tshuva, that brings him so up close to Hashem. And as we discussed earlier, Hashem himself, Kaviyachol, comes and launders the person's neshama. We talked about this. We talked about how Yom Kippur is one intense Kaviyachol being laundered in Hashem. Right? But tshuva is an intense bond. It's not just us coming and saying, okay, we're going to make amends. Hashem takes you and processes you personally to you. And therefore, Magasat Kisei HaKavod brings a person to a level that he wasn't at before. He now has been touched by Hashem in a personal way. Hashem has cleansed him. And in fact, the Alshik points out, Gemara, is that really? This creates an effect that could be seen by the eye if we were on the right level. When the Gemara talks about his purpose, about tshuva, his name was Nasan Tzitzis. It was a story, whatever it is. He made a mistake, and he did tshuva, and they were actually able to see a halo over his head for the rest of his life. And the Alshik says that this is really an effect that is stable to tshuva. Just in his case, for whatever reason, it was actually visible to the naked eye. Ordinarily, it's not. But when a person makes a mistake and did his tshuva, he is now a different sort of person. He's a transformed person. He's a person who was touched by Hashem. And he's carrying around greater spiritual properties. And Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz takes this idea of Agas and Kisei HaKavod in a little bit of a different direction. We're showing spiritually quite how far, how close tshuva gets you. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz says Magas and Kisei HaKavod means something a little bit different. It doesn't mean that tshuva itself, as we've been discussing, it's not the point. They said it brings a person to the highest level in terms of achieving his potential. This is an amazing point. We touched on this earlier. It says that without tshuva, people would not reach their full level. Meaning what? Tshuva is what propels a person to growth. There's something more dangerous than an avera. There's something more dangerous than an avera for our spirituality. What's that? Stagnation. An avera, on the contrary, as we've been discussing, it's built into the system that you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to deal with them. And you're going to use them as means of getting yourself even further ahead. The bigger tragedy, or the biggest tragedy, is when a person just forgets about the system and he's staying in place. Not doing any favors, but he's stagnating. He's not moving anywhere. He's just stuck in place. So Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz says, sometimes it takes a fall to get to God. And on the contrary, it's the mistakes that we make that make us that much more aware, that much more alert, that much more fueled to get further ahead and further ahead. So, on the contrary, it's not like it's b'dieved. Hashem set up the system, it's basically impossible. We're going to make mistakes, but look, Hashem says, look, you make mistakes, I'll give you the opportunity to meet you. No, that's all part of the system. Because this process of making a mistake and then fixing it up and getting yourself back on track is an inherent part of the growth that Hashem intended. It's also more than that. Tshuva provides you with very unique challenges. When you make mistakes, it provides you with challenges you didn't have before. Think about it in interpersonal terms. You. Oh, yes, you're fast. Actually, if I couldn't ever turn it, that's not the goal. Same high end, same exact action. If I did it for building purposes, that's not the goal. I did it for saving, that's not the goal. That's basic. I love that. It's almost known.
We keep using the example of your wife. So again, you said something really stupid to your wife. You have to sleep, and afterwards you feel really lousy about it. And I am faced with a choice. See, usually what tshuva does is it puts you in front of a certain crossroads. Had you not been the aver in the first place, you'd be running along on the smooth road. Now that you did the avera, you have two choices. Either you have to really stick your neck out, or dig yourself deeper into the pit. Like now, you said that to your wife. It's hard to apologize. Right? It's hard to apologize. Ego is in the way. Right? So now the question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to just make believe nothing happened, which really is just going to extend the tension and keep things a little bit stiff for another day or two? Right? Or are you going to lower yourself and take the step and say, you know, sometimes after you say you bite, no, let's not get into this now. That's it, we've fallen into, okay, we got 3 hours ahead of us now of discussion. Can I just, okay, so I didn't say that one word, right? No, that's it. Now the question is, are you going to exacerbate things by making believe nothing happened and just kind of trying to move on, life is normal? Or, now, in order to really get things back on track, you have to do something more difficult than initially. You got to go and make that apology. Many times, this is just one simple example, but there are cases where it's a lot more drastic than that. But tshuva, if you mess up, it's not just like you can get back onto the road. You have a choice ahead of you. Either you're going to continue spiraling, or you're going to have to take an extra hard step. A classic case of this is Doing good. Remember him? Doing good. He was faced with such a situation, and he failed the test. That's where he lost his own money. What happened? Doing good. Okay, well, I'm trying to figure out how much to get into the story. I'm trying to, in a very brief way, David was trying to flatter Shaul. So the Rambam says it's very dangerous to get into the company of kings and powerful people, because then you start moving your sense of service to them rather than Hashem. Right? And they start dictating, meaning the dynamics with them, start dictating your judgment, you know, the decisions you make, etc., etc. Okay? So, Shaul HaMelech is paranoid. He's sure that David is putting together this whole revolt developing under his nose. Now, nobody else knows anything about it. So, to the mind of the paranoid person, what does that mean? Nobody else knows anything about it. What does that mean in the mind of the paranoid? Everybody's involved, exactly. Shaul HaMelech saw that clearly. Right? He saw. It's clear. What David is doing is clear. Okay? And the fact that nobody's telling me anything means that I'm surrounded by enemies. And he yelled at his servants about this.
And therefore, Doeg and Levi decided to see, indeed, conspiracies. He decided to see the conspiracies that Shaul HaMelech wanted to hear about. Because that way, he proved himself as the one person who the king still really can rely on. Okay? So he saw conspiracies. He described this whole rendezvous. He basically told the truth. There was a rendezvous between David and the Kohen named Achimelech from the city of Kayan. Just that he adjusted a few of the details. It was really an innocent meeting because Achimelech knew nothing about the fact that David was being pursued by Shaul, etc., etc. David came and asked him for provisions. Achimelech made it sound, Doeg came along and made it sound a little bit more secretive than that in order to corroborate, yes, there are conspiracies. He was guilty of terrible slander. Terrible slander is a big aveira, but it can get worse. Averas can get worse, right? So what happened then? What happened then? So that's it. Shaul said, I knew it, right? I knew it with these conspiracies going on. Now it turns out that Noah, the whole city of Kahanim, is in with David. And therefore he says to his generals, wipe them out. What did the generals say? Nothing doing. Now let us listen to a king in such a situation. So he turns to Doeg. And he tells Doeg, you discovered the conspiracy, you wiped them out. And here is the point that we're talking about. Doeg made a mistake. Lashon hara, the bit of error. Is it true or not, Lashon hara? Right? And now all of a sudden he was faced with a crossroad. And he said nothing. Now, he has to keep going one of two extremes. Either he takes the mortifying step of telling the king, I made it up. Well, not exactly, but I embellished it. It wasn't exactly that. Backtracking. Which would put him into a humiliating and perhaps even dangerous situation. Right? Or, he took one step into the pit, now jump 100 feet down. Go kill them all. There was a chance for Doeg to earn himself very great effort, very great merit by taking this mortifying step. Or to not take it, but now there's no middle ground. All the way. This is one of the most drastic such cases in history. Right? But often an Avera puts you into such a situation, which means that once you did an Avera, what's actually happening is Hashem is coming to tell you that. Now, it's either growth or decline. There's no just staying with the fact that I did an Avera. Now let's move on. It's either growth or decline. Which brings us back to a point that we've made earlier from a few different angles. Failures are actually stepping stones to greater growth. Now certainly, we don't view it that way, like we keep saying. Don't make that cheshbon when you're facing an Avera. But after you did the Avera, understand that that is actually a part of Hashem's program for your growth. That Avera. After you did the Avera, this is part of the test. This is a very important test. Because sometimes the Avera causes you to become dejected. It's like we're saying here. It just inspires a spiral. Right? Once I messed up, so you just feel lousy about it, etc. It's harder to come back and rejuvenate yourself spiritually if you feel like you really messed up. But on the contrary, that's even greater growth. So in other words, our failures and the opportunity to do tshuva, really, without them we would not reach our full growth, because the failures are what really provide us with so many of the stepping stones to reach the true heights that we're able to reach. And this is a very important point, because one of the big tricks of the Yetzer Hara is to try to ride in an Avera to tell you, alright, you fell anyways. What's the point? Alright, so you do it again. Sishkefer. To be able to come afterwards, Adrabba, tell yourself, this is an opportunity for me to show Hashem. Yes, I feel lousy about it. But on the contrary, I'm not going to come back strong. Even though I feel hypocritical. That is greater growth than not having done the Avera. So this is Magas of Yisrael Kovach. Really brings our greatness out. The failures and how we contend with them is what really brings our greatness. Such an amazing point, just from Sri Meir Zilberberg. He just spoke here the other night at the grocery. I had the chutzpah to give shir while he was. But he's a phenomenon. A lot of my Rosh Hashanah I get from him, from his books. So he's bringing out how Rosh Hashanah is the stem cell of the year. They have to be keenly aware of how Rosh Hashanah contains in it, just setting the tone for how things are going to operate throughout the year. And therefore, he goes at great length. He says, bear in mind, Rosh Hashanah is about first, and the first is very, very important for setting the tone for your entire year. It's the first. You start with the first vocal of the year, the first Nairav of the year, the first greeting other people, the same upon the office of the year, right? Coming home, sit down by the table with the kids. Bear in mind, this is the first provocation of the year, okay? Also an opportunity. They're all opportunities. It's chakras of the year, right? Etc., etc. Mamish goes in detail. The first Tisviyah, the first Tisviyah Shachar of the year, the first Tisviyah Zimra of the year. He's going through and through and through and through, which really gives you the sense of, I'm going to be operating perfectly on Rosh Hashanah. I have to make sure to get every first perfect, right? But then he throws in, well, really two points that are so profound. He said, Rosh Hashanah will also contain the first rise after a fall of the year. Because at some point on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to make a wrong step. Right? You're suddenly going to have, let's say, in the middle of Musaf, that I've been spacing out. And I've already been to Malchus. Malchus. I lost them. I'm already after the shame. I lost Malchus. Now you're holding my Zacharias. Right? No! This is the first rising after a fall of the year. What are you going to do with it? What's your first rise after a fall of the year going to look like? Such an amazing point. Such an amazing point. Right? Adarama, that's right. I lost my mouth here. Look what I can do now. Right? Or, right? It says in Halacha, right? Bear in mind. Mishnah Berurah says this. We're talking about, you want your conduct with other people to be perfect. The Shabbat says, right, we eat all the different Simanim on Rosh Hashanah. We want to start the sweet, we want to start it, numerism, we want to start it, right? All the different things with their properties, right? It's an idea, it's all really the same idea. The tone that's set at the beginning of the year spiritually locks things in. That's the idea of the Siman. Yeah, that's the idea of the Siman. Having sweetness, and also you avoid sour foods, right? We avoid nuts because nuts are the gematria of cakes. We want to keep sterile. It's like you said, stem cell of the year, you want to keep it sterile. We avoid nuts because of the gematria of cakes. We mentioned in the past that the Gerer Rebbe said that cakes also has the gematria of cakes. Right? But, so the Mishnah Berurah says, what's that?
Kotzker.
Oh, the Kotzker. Yeah, right. So the Mishnah Berurah says, bear in mind that if you're eating honey and all these different things because you want to start the year sweet, the biggest simon of all is your state of mind. No cows, no tension, it just be sweet, forgiving. That's the way you want to start the year. That's the way you want to move into it. That's how I start my Rosh Hashanah seed every year. That's the announcement that we start. That's how I start my Rosh Hashanah Siddur every year. Before Kiddush, I make that announcement. Point to all the things we have on the table. My wife sets up a whole Pesach Seder of all the different simanim. Right? All kinds of different things. And here we have all the different simanim because we want to start the year right. The most important thing is the mood, the atmosphere. That's what we want to keep sweet, pleasant, nice. No anger, no impatience, no anything.
What are the kids are melting down?
What's that?
What are the kids are melting down?
Oh, so the truth is, that's right. That's right.
That's the test.
That's the test.
That's the test.
Well, here's exactly the point. You can reach a point where they just make you lose it. And here we come back to our point again. That's it, I did lose it. I lost it. No. Rosh Hashanah is also For bearing in mind that this is an inherent part of the growth process, the rise after the fall, Adrabe, it's not a problem that we have on Rosh Hashanah, on the contrary. That's right, I let loose. Right? The kid finally got me, he managed. Right? And I made it through the soup, and then I lost it. Shine, Parfalish. No! What's your first rise after a fall of the year going to look like? Okay. So this is Hagas on Kisei HaKavod Adrab. It's the failures with the tshuva that really get a person to his full height. That bring him right up to the Kisei HaKavod where he's meant to get. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon said, "Gedayla tshuva shedoyche es loisa se shebetim." This is very interesting. Look how great tshuva is. It overrides a loisa se from the Torah. Shenema. It says in the pasuk, "Leima." Hashem is saying, "And yishalach ish ishtei." If a person sends away his wife. The whole chameita, she goes from him, divorces her, loisal ishach, and then she marries somebody else. Could he possibly return to her after that? That would be a terrible sacrilege. That brings down the kedusha of the land. Now, Adzon Yisrael Rabin, now listen, but Hashem says, nevertheless, you have gone off and gone astray with so many other men. Shuvei lain u'mashem. But yet, come back to me, Hashem. Hashem says, this is sacrilege. We can do it anyway. Because tshuva overrides. Now this is a chashuva point here to make. And that is that the understanding that it's hard for us to really connect to this way of thinking, but to understand what a chiddush tshuva is, a tshuva really makes no sense. But if you would properly understand who Hashem is and what an aveira is, you wouldn't think that there could be such a thing as tshuva. You messed up with Hashem, why would you have another chance? No, this is challenging for us because we're so used to the idea of tshuva, right? We're so used to the idea of Hashem. You're also thinking, why not say this? I messed up. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. What's the big deal? But if we would really appreciate who Hashem is, what it means to have a relationship, and what an aveira is, tshuva would not be such a given in our minds. Just what? We don't quite appreciate that. But the people of earlier times did. You see that Yechezkel HaNavi, when he's coming and exhorting the people to do tshuva, you know the challenge that he was facing? It's not that he had to arouse them from the stand, that they got himself into trouble, etc. They knew all that. It's just that they could not really accept. They couldn't wrap their heads around that Hashem really would accept them, Hamish, as though they had never done. That's what he has to beg them, plead with them, to believe. That's what they had a very hard time wrapping their heads around. They had a better appreciation of what a chet really means. Okay? So the truth is that, yes, it goes against logic, if we properly understand. And not only that, but there's a medrash that brings out that it also goes against the whole spiritual setup of the world. That a person should be able, at Kedekah, to just completely be restored to his previous state. But what? Hashem is saying, that's right, there's a whole system in place. And yet I'm overriding it. I'm overriding it against all logic, and so to speak, I'm going against my own laws. I'm going against my own laws in order to provide you always with a straight road to me, no matter how far you went, no matter how bad you were, you always had that open road coming straight to me. And so the Kakoyan brings up that this explains a lot of things. He says, for example, Acher, right? You remember Acher? Elisha ben Avuya. That was the Tana who went off the derech. Okay. So it says, and at one point, Talmud Rebbe was trying to get him to do tshuva, and he said that he heard a bas kol say, "Achaz that I can't do tshuva." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I heard a bas kol say, tshuvu barim shayvav, kutz me'achaz. Come back all wayward sons, except for Acher. So, you see that I've been rejected. So, say, I'll enjoy this world. So I'm told to say something amazing. What Lamaisa was his mistake? He heard a Basco. So was he wrong? And the answer is he was wrong. Because on the contrary, that's the point that Mr. is making. You're right. Really? Within our reality? Can't be true. But this is the point that our Gemara is making. And it also ties back with the previous Gemara. Tshuva goes beyond our reality, also our spiritual reality. As bad as a person might have been, and as much as within our reality, within the framework of the laws of spiritual nature, there should not be any tshuva in such a case, still there's tshuva. Because Hashem overrides the spiritual laws. Here we go. Okay. Now, Omar Rabbi Yehoshua, said, "Gedola tshuva shemikareves es hageula. Tshuva is great; that's what brings the geula close." Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, "Uvalitzion goyim, and the shevet peshav, the redeemer shall come to Zion. To whom? To whom will he come? To those who are repenting from faith in Yahweh." Explain it as follows. Matam uvalitzion goyim, cause and effect. Uvalitzion goyim. Why? Why will the redeemer come? The shevet peshav Yahweh. Because there are those who are repenting in Yahweh. This is another amazing thing. A person who sins and is doing tshuva has more potency to bring the geula than a person who isn't right the whole time. It's the same point that's recurring again and again. Which, by the way, I want to make a point. You know, the concept that it says that, you know, the kind of tzibur she'ein bo nefesh Yisrael, a part of the value of the kind of tzibur is having Kosha Yisrael dominant. And the sitter dominant. And that's what gives a tiny tzibur its value, etc. Hashem cherishes that. In today's liberal, warped, hashkafically confused world, I mean, in this religious world, people take this to mean that there's just something beautiful about a sinner too. There's something beautiful about a sinner too. Hashem wants a sinner there also. Right? People don't understand what's really being said there. It's not that, what? In this Gemara that talks about how, it's really, that's what we say, right? Well, Lidre, we're asking for permission to daven with the sinners, right? And the Gemara that says that sinners joining in the Tanya Sibur enhances its value that much more. The idea is the point that we're here, sinner, it's an end. Maybe I'm a bit congested. Oh, see, during, that's always a legitimate presence in the. But,
a sinner being at the.
Yeah. Being a part of when there's a tightness, when there's. In Kippur, right? We want the sinners to be a part of it. Okay? So. The point is not that, you know, we need sinners also. You know, Klai Yisrael is not good enough a nation if we don't have sinners among us as well. That's the shalom. That's not the idea. But I hear things presented that way. It's like there's so much confusion out there. But it means is the point that we're making. A sinner who's doing tshuva, that's what we're talking about. Now, a sinner who's ready to do tshuva has to realize that, yes, that ups the value of the whole gathering. And have a person who's.
Why didn't they use the lesson called tshuva rather than the lesson of Shay
Israel? What's
that? Why
didn't they use
the lesson of
Balei
tshuva rather than the lesson of
Shay Israel? Baal tshuva is after the fact. The person who did tshuva. We're talking about a person who's coming in ready to start. It's a Baal Aveira. Right? It's still a Baal Aveira. The truth is already not. Because once a person is just a higher tshuva, we already say that that's beginning the tshuva process. We're talking about a person who practically speaking, he hasn't made changes yet, but he wants to make that change when he's coming in. Ooh, that ups the value of the whole thing. That's a more powerful, potent trap. Okay. Amar Reish Lakish. Gedayla Tshuva. Shedayla Status like Hishkar. Tshuva is great. It turns deliberate sins into inadvertent ones. That's how they are rendered retroactive. Shenema, it says in the Pasuk, Tshuva Yisrael Adashim Adakefa, Hikashal Tavami Nefa. Come back, call yourself Hashem Adakefa, because you have bungled. And Koshalta would mean like you tripped, you bungled over your sin. Now, of amazing you. Now, it's a funny way of putting it, because the bungle, the trip, implies an accident, right? But Avayin versus Chet implies a deliberate Avayin. So how can you say you accidentally fell into a deliberate Avayin? This is the point. Yes. Is that the Kavi language, so we call it, and he tripped over it, because now if he is a tshuva, it is rendered accidental, retroactive. Now, the Gemara asks, is this so? Is this so? Well, no, he's talking to me, he's talking to me, what is that? Because the tshuva is doing this off, it's like his fears. Tshuva is so great that a person's Averis, deliberate Averis, actually turns to knowledge when he does tshuva. You know, I have a certain assumption. But the tshuva Rasha Mirishon says, if a person, if a Rasha does tshuva from his vision, the Asa Mishpat of Tzvaka and now does righteousness, Alehem Yichyeh, he will live based on them, based on them meaning includes also his previous sins. Now they are going to be a source of life for him. On the contrary, they now are added to his bank account. He's going to live off them. The Gemara answers like Tashas, like the distinction we drew earlier. Kame avo kame yiro. This promise reflects the one we saw earlier, right? If you did tshuva mi avo, it's not just that you're forgiven, but on the contrary, Hashem gives you credit for the averus. Okay? What's the idea? This is the idea also that we mentioned, that now the averus have become a means for your progress. You didn't have averus. And you did tshuva me'ava, which means that you were mortified by the fact that you treated Hashem as, and therefore you're coming back to make amends, which is putting you on a higher level than you were before. So what was the cause of your higher level? The Avera. So Hashem says, now I actually look at the Avera as a missile. Look, it brought you to this higher level. It was a step in the process of your growth, and that's how I relate to it. If it's just Mi'ira, it's just from fear, so Hashem says, okay, fear? So we're going to take down the severity. We'll take away the punishment. It wasn't on purpose, it was by accident. But that's what we said in the Gemara earlier. That's already different. That's not that, oh, retroactively, I'm glad you did it. No, it's like a healing process. You remedied it, it's still there, it's still not so geschmack, but it's better. It's better. Okay, this really deserves more elaboration, but. Yes, but.